Okay, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 3, text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Uddhava
vacha
tataha
sa
agatya
purang
sva
pitrosh
chikirshiha
chang
baladeva
sangyutaha
Nipatya
Tunga
Ripu
Yuta
Anatam
Atang
Vyakarsha
Vyasum
Otasorvyam
Udava
Huvacha
Tasa gacha param swapitrosh.
Tasa gacha param swapitrosh.
Chikirshya shambala deva sangyutaha.
Chikirshya shambala deva sangyutaha.
Nipachyatungad ripu
yutanatam. Nipachyatungad ripu yutanatam.
Atam yakarshad yasum ojasorvyam.
Atam yakarshad yasum ojasorvyam.
I'll go slower.
Udava
uvacha.
Tatasa gacha puram swapitrosh.
Tatasa gacha puram swapitrosh.
Kirshaya Shambhala Deva Sangyutaha.
Kirshaya Shambhala Deva Sangyutaha.
Nipacha Tungad Ripu Yutanatham.
Nipacha Tungad Ripu Yutanatham.
Atham Yakarshad Vyasum Ojasorvyam.
Atham Yakarshad
Udava vacha tatasa agacha puram swapitrosh
tatasa agacha puram swapitrosh
chikirshyat shambhala deva
sangyutaha
nipachatungad ripu yut Natam
Hatam
Vyakarshad Vyasumojasorvyam
Hatam
Vyakarshad
Vyasumojasorvyam.
Okay.
Tathagatya puram swapitrosh.
Tathagatya
puram
swapitrosh. Vyakarshad vyasum ajasurvayam
Hatam vyakarshad vyasum
ajasurvayam Udhava yuvacha
Udhava yuvacha
Tathasa agatya puram swapitrosh
Tathasa agatya puram swapitrosh
Chikirshaya sambhala deva samyuktah
Chikirshaya sambhala deva samyuktah
Nipatya tungam ripu yuktanatham
Nipatya tungam ripu yuktanatham
Atam
Ladies. Udhava Uvacha.
Udhava Uvacha.
Shri Udhava said.
Shri Udhava said.
Tataha.
Tataha.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Saha. The Lord.
Lord.
Agacha.
Agacha.
Coming.
Coming.
Puram.
Puram.
To the city of Mathura.
To the city of Mathura.
Swapitroho.
Swapitroho.
Own parents.
Own parents.
Jakirshaya, wishing well,
wishing well.
Shang,
some
well-being.
Baladeva
song yutaha,
good
Lord Baladeva,
Lord Baladeva.
Nipatya,
Nipatya,
dragging down,
dragging down.
Tungat,
Tungat,
from the throne,
from the throne. Ripuyutanatam,
leader of public enemies.
Leader of public enemies.
Hatam.
Hatam.
Killed.
Killed.
Yakarshat.
Yakarshat.
Pulled.
Pulled.
Vyasam.
Vyasam.
Ojasa.
Ojasa.
By strength.
By strength.
Urvyam.
Urvyam.
On the ground.
On the ground.
Translation, Sri Udhava said, thereafter Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Sri Baladeva, and to please his parents, their parents, they dragged Kamsa, the leader of public enemies, down from his throne and killed him, pulling him along on the ground with great strength. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. King Kamsa's death is only briefly described here, because such pastimes are vividly and elaborately described in the 10th canto. The Lord proved to be a worthy son of his parents even at the age of 16 years. Both brothers, Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev, went to Mathura from Vrindavan and killed their maternal uncle who had given so much trouble to their parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. Kamsa was a great giant, and Vasudeva and Devaki never thought that Krishna and Balaram, Baladev, would be able to kill such a great and strong enemy. When the two brothers attacked Kamsa on the throne, their parents feared that now Kamsa would finally get the opportunity to kill their sons, whom they had hidden for so long in the house of Nanda Maharaj. The parents of the Lord, due to parental affection, felt extreme danger, and they almost fainted. Just to convince them that they had actually killed Kamsa, Krishna and Baladev pulled Kamsa's dead body along the ground to encourage them. Uruvavachat, Tatasa Gatyaparam Swapitro Shikashya Shambhalade Sangita Nipachatunga Ruputanatam Atam Vyakarshad Vyasum Ojasol Yam. So, Om Maganat Simadandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So here, you're hearing described one of the most cruel activities that Krishna did. Now, why am I saying that? Anyone have any ideas? No. What is a cruel thing that Krishna did?
Dragging a body.
No. That's nice. Dragging a body is kind of nice, you know. So, you know, you got to prove to your parents that he's dead. Nobody has any ideas? No.
He's hiding?
No.
Did his parents go through fear?
No. That's cruel, but not the most cruel. Nobody knows anything.
Did Balaram do it?
What?
He didn't make Balaram do it?
No.
He ripped the heart off.
Ripped the heart? You're thinking of Hiranyakashipu. I mean, he pounded him, but he didn't rip his intestines out or heart. Nobody knows. Yes. Yes. See, we have a real devotee here. The most cruel thing Krishna did, I mean, this stuff is ordinary, killing demons, you know. As Krishna says in the Gita, that's what he does. That's his business. Prutranaya Sadunam Vinishaya Chatushkutam. I come down and I annihilate the demons and establish religious principles and protect the devotees. However, this is extremely cruel because Krishna, he was 16 years old and he was dancing with these girls and made them so many promises. It's just like if a young boy makes a girl promise or a girl makes a boy promise. And we've actually seen, even in this material world, that when a boy leaves a girl that makes a promise or a girl, sometimes the people commit suicide. There was a recent incident where there were a boy and girl and they were madly in love, and then someone harassing the boy told him his girlfriend had died. Committed suicide. And what he did is he committed suicide. Mm-hmm. So there was a news report about this. So here's Krishna dancing with these girls. Not only dancing, you know, the rasa dance has previously been described, going out, you know, arm in arm along the Jamuna, singing songs, playing the flute, making promises, I'll never leave you, and then all of a sudden this guy takes him out of Vrindavan. Who's the guy? Akrura, which means not cruel, and he's the most cruel. And of course he got cursed by the gopis, and he had some later problems due to that curse by the gopis. So this is very cruel. And then you find other incarnations of the Lord, such as Lord Ramchandra, being extremely cruel. What did Lord Ramchandra do? What? Yeah, he banished Sita. Can you imagine that? I mean, there's no doubt that Sita was the most chaste lady anywhere. I mean, she's the goddess of fortune. And then Lord Ramchandra said, Lakshman, take her and drop her off in the forest. Wow. And not only that, the poor lady is pregnant. I mean, this is just like cruel. Who is this God that we're worshiping? Isn't it? You know, if you, let's say if you had a husband and wife here, and the husband just has, tells his brother to drop his wife off in the forest, you know, in the mountains here or something like that, in the South Island. So, oh my God. You know, you'd probably report him to the police, right? They'd probably be put in jail. You know, they protect the ladies here. But Krishna is just doing all the Krishna, Ram. I'm sure there's other incarnations that didn't do such nice things either. So, This is very cruel. I don't like those particular pastimes. Actually, there's an interesting story in the Lalita Madhava. And in the Lalita Madhava, you have Krishna and Satyabhama, who was an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Anyone's heard my narration of the Lalita Madhava? They're looking at pictures, their photographic album, of their pastimes in Vrindavan. Just like, you know, all of you have photographic albums, you know, when you got married, your first kid, you know, anyway, so many, or when you went on vacation to Singapore. What's that place where people visit in Singapore? What's it called? With the kids, they have all these little things they put together. What?
I don't know.
Anyway, I forget the name. Yeah, so... Anyway, so you have pictures of all these things. So Krishna also has pictures of all his pastimes in Vrindavan. And that's in a cave in a place called Nava Vrindavan in near Dwarka. And that, he was having pastimes with Satyabhama. And this is before he married Satyabhama. So Krishna is also not so nice as far as following the regulated principles. So, you know, what kind of God is this? You know, so anyway, so he's looking at the pictures of his pastimes in Vrindavan, and he looks at all these pictures. There's a picture of Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes. There's a picture, that's also a cruel thing. There's a picture of Krishna dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpent. There's a picture that Rasa danced. And finally, they come to this picture of Akrura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. And as Krishna was being taken out of Vrindavan, the gopis are actually lying on the path, you know, blocking the road. And of course, Akrura doesn't want to run him over. And he's just having to zigzag the chariot, you know, this way, that way, to avoid running over the poor gopis. And so Satyabhama looks at this picture, and she's an expansion of Radharani, and she says, I hate this picture. I hate this picture. Because Krishna's doing this cruel thing. Krishna is actually Krura. He's cruel. So, anyway, so why is this? And why is Krishna doing this? When, in fact, as far as this killing of Kamsa business, Krishna could have done that, had someone else do it. Krishna is, you know, independent. Swarat, he's up to kama, whatever he wants happens. You know, all of his energies are first class. You know, there's no question about killing Kamsa, Krishna having to leave Vrindavan. He could have just stayed there and danced with the gopis forever and ever and ever. And Ram could have tolerated the talking of the washerman. Who cares what some stupid washerman says? So, why did Krishna or Ram do this? Well, this is something called vipralamba, separation. You know, even in this material world, we say that separation makes the heart grow fonder, isn't it? Because when someone is separate from you, you think of them more. Just like when Prabhupada left this planet, you know, you start to think of We started to think of Prabhupada more, dedicated our life to Prabhupada more. It was an impetus, and that's, of course, why that's why I took sannyas, was as a method of dedicating my very existence to the service of Srila Prabhupada. So, of course, in the material world, separation makes the heart grow fonder, but then when you're meeting with the person, you know, did I actually want to get together with that person? You know, that's a little bit different. So, but in the spiritual realm, it's interesting, there is no actual separation. Because when there's apparent separation, like Krishna leaving Vrindavan, or Ram sending Sita away, then there's more remembrance, and in that remembrance, the person is present. Just like we have Krishna's holy names. Isn't it? Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. that when we chant, Krishna's there. 100%. We're not separated from Krishna. No way. Every time we go, Krishna, Krishna's there. That's one of the things I realized when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, is that I could bring my best friend with me wherever I went. As Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwam. Suradam Sarvabhutanam Gatwamam Shantim Richati. If you want to be peaceful, you understand that Krishna is your best friend, and he's always with you. And of course, there's that verse, what, 6th chapter, text 30. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamahi Pashati Stesham Napranashami Sachame Napranashati. And one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. Another verse, Sarva Riyam Mayam, Sarunam Riyam Tuham, Maranyat Tena Janapi, Noham Tebyo Managapi. The Krishna says, the sages meditate upon me in their hearts, and I meditate upon the sages in my hearts. So in other words, as soon as you start to think about Krishna, then Krishna is present. And the more intensely you think about Krishna, the more intensely Krishna is present. So this is not like material affairs. I mean, you can chant your boyfriend or girlfriend's name or husband or wife's name till hell freezes over. And they're not present. It's like there was one Broadway musical called West Side Story. It was like a takeoff on Romeo and Juliet. Anyone seen that? Heard that now? And this poor guy was chanting, Maria, Maria, Maria. And his girlfriend's name. And she was chanting, Tony, 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 right? I got the names right, I hope. So, but it didn't do any good. Anyway, that was like a Romeo and Juliet. Oh, Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? That's Shakespeare, of course. Doesn't do any good because the person's not present in his name. And of course, nowadays we have mobile phones where we can contact people 24/7. So we don't even need to chant their names anymore. We can see where they are. So it's like people are seeing me where I am right now. Hare Krishna. So, and I get these messages all the time on Facebook Messenger. Where are you, Gumaras, right now? I'm on the internet. So basically, we're different from our names. We're different from a thought of ourselves. We're different from our pastimes. You know, someone says, well, is a pastime of so-and-so. Of course, we don't have pastimes, but we're different from our activities. But Krishna's the same. Yeah, Namaguna Rupa Lila. Krishna's the same as his qualities. We think of his qualities. Krishna's the same. The Bhagavatam is an incarnation of Krishna. We're with Krishna right now. The holy names. All these things. So when, getting back to the point, when Sita was separated from Ram or the gopis were separated from Krishna, then they weren't. They were with Krishna because they were just remembering Krishna. It's like you go to Vrindavan today. If you remember Krishna, you're with Krishna. That's the miracle of spiritual energy like that. So that is how Krishna was very cruel and not cruel. Simultaneously. So here we find the description of Krishna entering Mathura. So why did he do this? And actually, Krishna didn't go to Mathura. That may come as a surprise, even though it says it did. That Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, in his original form, always remains in Vrindavan, and Krishna expands himself. So in other words, Krishna is always there with the gopis, although he is not manifest. It's called aprakata. Pastimes. Krishna is not manifest there. They can't see him except in their meditation. So So Krishna expands himself in a Vishnu expansion to go to Mathura. In fact, here it's mentioned that Krishna was born in Mathura. It's not actually true. An expansion of Krishna was born in Mathura. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That Yashoda Mayi, who was Krishna's actual mother, and Nanda Maharaj, who was Krishna's actual father, they had Krishna as their son. And Yashoda Mayi, she was just like completely unconscious after giving birth, so she didn't really even remember who, you know, who she gave birth or what she gave birth to. You know, she was unconscious. So when Vasudeva came, who was Krishna's father, or the expansion of Krishna's father in Mathura, came to exchange the boy for the girl, actually what happened is that the expansion of Krishna, who appeared in Mathura, entered into the Brajendra Nandana Krishna. Do you follow me so far? Mm-hmm. Who was in Vrindavan. And so Krishna was there in Vrindavan. So the actual Krishna, as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has 64 qualities, appeared in Vrindavan, was born in Vrindavan. And also an expansion of Krishna was born or appeared in Mathura. And only in Vrindavan does Krishna have the four extra qualities. Does anyone know what those four qualities are? 64 qualities. What? Anyone know? Yeah, plays a flute. Attractive form. The intimate devotees and pastimes. You know, the intimate pastimes. These are the four qualities. Outside of Vrindavan, Krishna, you can call him God. I don't like to call him God. Because for me, he's Krishna. So anyways, and actually when you're explaining Krishna consciousness to people in general, I don't use the word God. I say, you know, the Supreme Person, most attractive person, the person from whom everything comes. So Krishna has all these qualities in Vrindavan and outside of Vrindavan, and even in Vrindavan when he's killing the demons, he expands himself. So Krishna's original form doesn't kill demons, which is quite interesting. So the reason for all these particular pastimes, leaving Vrindavan or being in Vrindavan, is to give pleasure to his devotees. And so his parents, so another cruel thing Krishna did, of course, which is mentioned in the beginning, he kept his parents in prison for so many years. Not only were they in prison, I mean, that's one thing to be in prison, but to have kids that are killed year after year, that's pretty intense. You can imagine, you know, you're in prison and your wife, or you have, if you're a lady, you have children, and then this ogre comes out and just like grabs them and smashes them against the wall. Oh my God. Why is Krishna doing this? Well, first of all, those kids who were getting killed, they actually were not devotees in the beginning. That was their punishment. The karmic reaction, because they had done some horror. They had been cursed by Kalanemi. Anyway, there's a whole story about that in the past. And eventually they got purified and they were brought back by Krishna and they became pure devotees of the Lord. So, but still, sometimes Krishna puts his devotees in difficult circumstances like that so that they just take shelter of him. As Krishna says, yes, yaham anugrihati harish tadhanam shanai, that when I favor a devotee, sometimes I put him in difficult circumstances. So all he can do is just go, Hare Krishna. And I'm sure all of us have experienced these intense circumstances where we take shelter of Krishna's holy names. So, and then Krishna's coming to please his parents. That is true. He came to please his parents and save his parents and manifest his pastimes and assure his parents by dragging Kansa all over the place after he killed Kansa. And also, by killing Kansa, he liberated Kansa. And he came to please other devotees, too. There was this nice lady, Kubja, who was there. And Kubja, very interestingly enough, was part of Lord Ram's pastimes. Surpanaka. You all know Surpanaka? She's that beautiful lady with the long nails. You know, sometimes the ladies put on extra nails. One time I was in Mexico in a bus and sitting next to a lady who was getting ready to meet her boyfriend. She put nails about this long. I was scared. Can you imagine? You know, claws. So, Surpanaka, you know, she was a little nasty. I mean, she would try to kill Sita Devi, right? But she had some good qualities. What was that? She fell in love with Ram. Or we fell in lust. I mean, I wouldn't say love. But so Krishna is like that too. If you have just a smidgen, that means a little bit, of good qualities and you have like tons of bad qualities, Krishna sees the good quality. It's interesting. So Surpanaka had tons of bad qualities. I mean, she was a demoness. She was the sister of Ravan. The reason she was living in Janmashtan is Ravana sent her away because she wanted to cause Ravan problems. Did you know that? I told that story before. Because Ravan had killed her husband, who was the king of the netherworlds. So she was just like really upset. That's why she inspired Ravan to go after Ram. Because she understood that Ram was so powerful. She saw how powerful Ram was. I mean, he was able to kill the 14 giants and 14,000 Rakshasas, right? And Karan Dushan, he was able to kill. I mean, just with one of his, you know, little arrows. He actually got all the 14,000 Rakshasas to kill each other. You know that story? He fired his bewildering arrow at them. And each and every one of them thought the other Rakshasa was Ram. Pretty good arrow, isn't it? Even you know, I wish we had that weapon now in the Middle East. You know, we could definitely take care of everything very quickly. You know. Everyone kills each other. Okay. So anyway, so Surpanaka saw that, and she saw how powerful Ram was, but she really wanted Ravan to meet his end, because he had killed her husband. And that's also why she was sent to Janmashtan, because Ravana didn't want someone who was angry with him hanging around. You know, hell hath no fury, like a woman whose husband has been killed. So Surpanaka had one redeeming quality, that she had attraction to Ram. And then Ram saw that. And what did he do? He had her appear as Kubja, and then Kubja got her back problem was solved by Krishna. You know that story. He was the expert chiropractor. Straightened up her back, right? And then he accepted her later on. Went to her house, even though she still wasn't pure. I mean, she was a pretty lusty girl. But then he purified her of that, and she became a pure devotee. See, so many instances of that. I mean, Putana also. She wanted to kill Krishna. She wanted Krishna as her son, but also she wanted to kill Krishna because previously she was the sister of Bali Maharaj, and saw what Vamandev did. So, anyway, in this way, Krishna is very kind, so he's going to Mathura, to give his mercy to his devotees, give pleasure to those of us who are reading his pastimes, and ultimately, eventually carry out his mission by annihilating all the miscreants who had taken birth on the earth planet. And these miscreants, who had taken birth on the earth planet, they are being described in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Krishna and the demigods defeat all the demons, they had taken shelter on the earth planet in the families of Kshatriyas. In Kali Yuga, many of these personalities have taken shelter in the earth planet in families of Brahmins. But in the previous Yuga, they were taken shelter because the demons continually run away from the demigods. And sometimes the demigods run away from the demons. This is something like that movie Star Wars, where you have the dark side of the force and the light side of the force, and they're continually battling each other. So another question is, why does Krishna have these demons? Because the demons are necessary, because that's a desire, and demons are necessary because they keep the demigods a little bit Krishna conscious. You know, without opposition, without opposition, the demigods would be in complete maya because there's so much enjoyment up there in the heavenly planets. Mm-hmm. It's like I described last night, Hawaii. There's so much enjoyment up there. You know, there's practically none of the threefold miseries. I guess there's some. Miseries from other living entities, but not from the weather. And miseries from one's body. So you sort of like become complacent. So the demigods become complacent. They do so many nonsense things, like Indra going after Ahalya. You know, so many nonsense things the demigods do. So you need some demons to get them to take shelter of Krishna. Because you find, whenever the demons attack, what they do is they go to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma goes to Vishnu, the Shura Dakshai Vishnu, and then they start praying. So that's what happens with us. When things go bad, we start praying. When the going gets tough, the tough get going to Krishna. As they say. Of course, when the going gets tough, those who are not devotees, they get going. So, but we go to Krishna, isn't it? I mean, that's our natural response. Something happens, oh Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then we go to the sadhu and say, please pray for me, like we were talking about last night. I have so many prayers that are backed up on my computer. So, prayer of the day, you know. Today I have to pray for Krishna Chandra. So, all right. So that's the point. That's why the demons are there. And also, it gives Krishna a nice opportunity to have pastimes that are not there in the spiritual world. That he gets a chance to fight. No real fighting in the spiritual world. Anyway, so these are some of the reasons why these pastimes are occurring. And the next few days, we're going to talk about more pastimes of the Lord. So, any questions or comments or arguments or problems?
When Krishna kills this cow, one of the...
You mean the calf, Vatsasura, or Arishtasura? Yeah.
Then those, what do you call them? Those girls?
The gopis.
The gopis. Gopis kissed him.
Yeah, they said, we're not going near you.
Yeah.
You killed the cow. I mean, how serious they were about Vedic culture, you can see. Mm-hmm. If someone killed a cow, you know, even though they loved him, they said, you know, of course they were teasing. They knew that the cow, or the bull, one case was it was a calf, it was Vatsasura, and that was the coward boys. But they knew that it was a demon who had taken that shape. What do they say? Wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
So they knew it. And so in one sense they were teasing, in another sense they were showing the seriousness of Vedic culture. If one kills a cow, it's the worst possible thing. Even in the Bible it says, he who kills an ox is the same as he who kills a man. They don't read that portion of the Bible. They just say, everyone's sinful, you just have to take shelter of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, Hare Krishna. Because they don't say Hare Krishna. But, so then Krishna had to go bathing in all the sacred rivers as a prayaschitta. And Krishna had an interesting way of going to the Sahasratirtha Jal, taking the Sahasratirtha Jal. Krishna called all the holy rivers to appear. But then even the gopis they refused to take that water or bathe in that lake because they said that Krishna has even made all those holy rivers impure. Isn't it? They said, Krishna said, you can bathe in my lake, all the holy rivers. And then the gopis said that you've contaminated all the holy rivers. We're not going to bathe in your lake. We're going to make our own lake. And then they dug out their own lake, and they couldn't get enough water from the Manasi Ganga to fill it. So Krishna said, so the holy places, the holy rivers personified, begged them to accept them in the holy rivers in their own kunda. That became Radha Kunda. So there's Radha Kunda and Chandra Kunda. Nice story. So Krishna does these things. Krishna's a very teasing type of person. You know, very teasing. He puts his devotees in anxiety all the time. In Vrindavan, there's so many demons. We read about like 1/1,000,000% of the demons that actually occurred in Vrindavan. Because every day, maybe in Krishna book we have like 30 demons or something. I haven't counted them. 30, 40. Whatever it is. So, but every day Krishna had to consult, had to deal with demons. And then Krishna was in Vrindavan for 16 years, and there's 365 days a year, when to speak of leap year. 366. So you can imagine how many demons, is several a day. Yeah, quite a bit of work for Krishna. So you can imagine how much anxiety. I mean, Mother Yashoda, when she saw Krishna being trapped by the Kaliyanag, because ultimately he became pure devotee, but when she saw Krishna trapped by the Kaliyanag, she fainted. And the gopis were ready to jump into the river to try to save Krishna, and they would have died. And every day there was anxiety for the residents of Vrindavan. Intense. Who wants to go back to Godhead? When every day Krishna's putting you in anxiety. Isn't that? What a God he is, you know. Oh my God. So, but that's part of loving exchange. Just like a mother is in anxiety over the children sometimes, isn't it? And you say to the mother, don't. You don't have to be in anxiety. I'll take your kid away. Mother said, what?
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. Anxiety is love. When you're in anxiety, that's a symptom of love over someone you love, isn't it? So who wants to get rid of it? So in the spiritual world, the gopis are, and the coward boys and Mother Yashoda and the trees, and everybody's in anxiety over Krishna. So Krishna puts his devotees in extreme emotional distress sometimes. And that's actually part of the ras. You know, fear is one of the indirect rasas. Did you know that? You have fear and ghastliness and humor. And then Krishna is also very funny sometimes. He does things so funny that everyone's like rolling on the ground laughing. So the spiritual world is a world of intense, uncontrollable emotions. Vyavachari bhavs. You know, people are fainting, crying, shivering. Not from the cold. Hair standing on end. And that's what you have to look forward to. That's braj. And of course, if you don't want that, then you can just go to Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, everything is just, all you need is love, love. All you ever need is love, love, love. You know, like that Beatles song. All you need is love. Love. Oh, yeah. Everything's peaceful, you know. Our Vishnu who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. So everyone is, it's cool there. But in Goloka Vrindavan, it's like anxiety, you know, fear, laughing. It's just emotional. It's very emotional. So I choose Vrindavan. So, any other questions?
Yeah.
you mentioned that Krishna does favor the devotees by sending some qualities to them. So at the same time, does he give some sort of like encouragement or some strength to the devotees?
Oh yeah, he does whatever's best. It's not that Krishna is just a one-trick pony. The only thing Krishna does is put us in distress. Krishna does, he knows what's best for us. And that's the faith we have. In whatever situation Krishna puts us in, a lot of people watching, in whatever situation Krishna puts us in, that's best. We have that faith. Whether in happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, you know, that's what we're meant to do, or the situation we're meant to be in. And we have to learn from it. Not that we just sit and complain. You know, you file a complaint with the spiritual ombudsman. Like at work, you know, the boss mistreats you, so you go to court, you know, harassment. So you take him to court. So you take Krishna to the court. You say, Krishna, or you pick it. You know, pick it, you know, do an industrial action. You call it industrial action. You go with the placards in front of Vrindavan, you know, Krishna unfair to the You want better pay from Krishna, you know. You just understand that whatever Krishna does, it's for the best. You may not understand how it's for the best, but you will 30 years later, or sometimes less. Because Krishna wants you back with him. So he's making the arrangement. You know, just like a little child doesn't understand when the parents may punish or something like that. Isn't it? The parent is saying, I'm doing this because I love you. I remember my mother saying, I'm doing this because I love you. And I said, don't love me so much. Or sometimes I say, boy, I hate to see what it's like if you hated me. If this is love, you know, we're in trouble. So, but really, a good parent is doing what they're doing for the child. I mean, the child may be restricted from what they can eat because they want the child to be healthy. Don't eat too many sweets. Why, Mom? Because it's not good for you. And the child is still sneaking. I remember there was one devotee in our temple, and they were addicted to sweets. And said, don't eat sweets. And I was trying to help them not to eat sweets, and I found that they were keeping them under their bed. Because I was so cruel, you know. So they wouldn't get diabetes. I mean, obviously, I was thinking of their health. So, actually, the scientists now are trying to redesign a sugar molecule, GMO sugar, that doesn't give you diabetes. You know, it's just like Hare Krishna. And it's really funny. I was reading about that yesterday. They're redesigning the molecule so it'll give you the sweet taste in your tongue, but when it goes down to your stomach, it doesn't do anything. And what they've discovered, whenever they do that, you know, they make artificial sweeteners, causes cancer.
Yes.
You know, as soon as they do anything GMO, it causes so many adverse effects, you know, cancer and other wonderful diseases that people get.
That's what they'll be introducing in New Zealand. E-cigarettes, which will only get smoke out of people.
Yeah.
And no nicotine effect.
And will give people nice cancer, too. And some of them explode, too. Because they have lithium batteries in them. But Krishna, whatever he does is for us. He loves us. He's like a good parent, you know. He loves us and he wants us with him. You know. But it's hard to understand that sometimes. Okay, any other questions, comments, arguments?
Maharaj, this cow issue has caused a lot of divisions in India at the moment, in like state of
Uttar Pradesh.
So it is a good move by the CM to stopping illegal butcheries.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of conflicts in India now because they're trying to stop cow slaughter or transportation of cows from one state to the other. Mm. And recently they're trying to reduce people's drinking alcohol. There was a recent law that you can't have a place that serves alcohol within 500 meters or something like that of a road, because India has disproportionate number of accidents due to alcohol consumption. So, you know, the leadership of India is trying to crack down, and people are complaining because some people will lose money, their businesses will go bankrupt. Some people, you know, it's Kali Yuga. People's livelihood is dependent upon selling alcohol and meat. It's sad. It got to that extent, and it's hard to stop it once, because people are dependent on that. It's hard to stop it once it's there. But somehow or other, in the whole earth, we're going to have to stop consuming meat if we want to be able to supply food to our population without having 2 billion people constantly starving, which is what we have right now. 2 billion people on the verge, and some are actually dying of starvation, and some are on the verge of starvation, and some are not getting enough food. You imagine that many people. And so many people without adequate water. I mean, how can you, just so we can have the taste of flesh and blood. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, there'll be some economic reversals in the future. All right. Any other questions? Comments? Arguments? Actually, it's 8 o'clock already. We want to thank everybody who's joining us online. Rasheshwari, Sonia Naidu, Manoharini Radha, Antony, Leela Shakti from the United States, Uddhava, Monica Dilachal from the United States, Madhava Sangini, who knows where she's from. Do you know where she's from? No, you don't. Taralakshi, Monica, Adi Dev, Agari from Fiji, RT, Sumuka from Fiji. So we have people from all over the world. Bhagavat from Europe, Saravashakti, Vanjelka, Gokulendra from the United States, Krishna Kumari, Ron Robinson, Dear Prashanta from Europe, Evan Chandra, Anjani Singh, Shalata Beti, that's Gora, Sudharma, anyway, so many people, Prananath. I'm using Wi-Fi, Prananath. Krishna Chandra, something Jacob Anjali sees. So thank you all for joining us.